Three games of hoops on a Wednesday night. Three blowouts, pretty much. We'll get into all of it for you here. My name is Shlomo Stark.
My name is Slater David Jacob.
And this is the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. Pretty boring night, as we predicted yesterday. I think that this is where like the first round gets a little boring. When you get to these 2-7, 1-8 matchups where it's like, ah. But anyway, let's get into the games. Houston beats Golden State. I would say that's game of the day just because those two teams, either one can win at any time. I got two words for you this game. Jalen Green. All right, Jalen Green had 38 points, 13 of 25 shooting, 8 of 18 from three. So he scored 8 threes, but he shot 18 threes, which is a lot. In his playoff debut earlier this weekend, he admitted that the playoff jitters got the best of him. He said the lights were bright, the crowd was here, the court looked huge, and he didn't get a chance to settle in. His legs were shaky. Things were a lot different last night.
What's in that for him in the regular season? When he scores 7 points in the regular season.
Good call out. Yeah, it was a pretty classic Jalen Green. But anyway, I think he did a good job. I was trying to be positive. He did a good job of answering back. From the beginning of the game, he was just aggressive, and he scored. And the Warriors never led. They played shorthanded most of the game after Jimmy Butler left with a pelvis contusion. Hard foul late in the first quarter. That's pretty much your, what are your thoughts?
There was a play that people are saying that Amen Thompson is dirty. He's a very physical player. This game was insanely physical. The refs let a lot go. You could see a lot that Steph was kind of getting pulled this way and that way on his jersey, everything. But he was still able to you know, put up the best fight that he could with everybody out. Pajemski also went out for a period of time in this game. But Amen, at some point in the game, went down for a rebound. Jimmy went up for the rebound, and he ended up undercutting Jerry Butler. I don't think it was intentional, honestly. Looking back at the replay, you see online right now, there's a lot of discourse about it. People are saying Draymond pushed him. People are saying that, you know, he meant to do it. It really, to me, it looks like he just didn't get his footing. He you know, he was clearly going towards the rim to try to get the rebound and tried to jump, but he didn't have the footing for it. So he ended up undercutting Jimmy Butler. He fell on his back, Jimmy Butler. It didn't look good. He limped off the court. Hopefully, you know, it kind of just bruised his tailbone. He can kind of, you know, figure it out for the next game. But the Warriors really, really miss having Jimmy Butler out there. They actually put in Kuminga for the first time. And he looked kind of pedestrian. I don't know if we know what a full-fledged, you know, Kuminga with a green light looks like, but it didn't look impressive last night. I wanted to say that this is the thing that we mentioned in game one about Jalen Green, is that if he, you know, scores a few more points, they're winning this game, or they're winning whichever game that they're in. And that's exactly what happened tonight. They won by a good margin. All those threes, and on offense, they were like the Rockets. Really had a lot of different options, and you could see it tonight that it was really hard for the Warriors to keep up at all because they just had more competency on the offense side.
Yeah, so you said a lot there. I'm only going to respond to one thing that you said. And it's just, I'm going to say it, and we're going to move on to the next game because we don't need to get into it. We disagree, and that's okay. It was a dirty play. He was a dirty player, and this is a dirty team. He went right under Jimmy Butler. Draymond didn't even push him, didn't do anything. He just went right under Jimmy. And I think it was intentional. He should be suspended. Next, Boston beats Orlando 109-100. No Jason Tatum. I thought this was the game the Magic could maybe win without Jason Tatum. Nope. Jaylen Brown scores 36. And he basically, Mazzulla said he came in saying he's going to do everything he came to win. He came through on the promise. Kristaps Porzingis had a awful bloody guy. Like, I mean, the bandage looked weird too. Like, it's going into his hair. It was really bad. A lot of blood, but he came back and finished with 20 points. And the Celtics win. They took a 2-0 series lead. This is Tatum's first ever playoff miss. And Brown stepped up when they needed him. I think the only thing you can really say for Orlando is they're going to have a good few years now with Ben Caro as their guy, because he's great. He finished with 32 points, 9 rebounds. And with him as your cornerstone, like, you have a future. And it's okay. This is not your year. Since the oblique virus, it was never going to really happen for them. No Suggs. So, and you're losing to the Celtics without Tatum. This is a sweep. But, like, this was your game. This is how you make it 5, and you couldn't do that. So, but you're not too bummed as a Magic fan, because this was never going to be your year, and Paolo's was a great cornerstone to have.
I saw an interesting stat that with this win, Jaylen Brown is now the player with the 5th most playoff wins at the age of 28 and younger. I thought that was an interesting stat. It's like it's a pretty good winning stat. He's been on the Celtics all the time. It's pretty good. What's the face?
5th most wins for 28 and younger. That sounds like a LeBron stat.
Playoff win.
That sounds like a LeBron stat. It's like most wins ever for a 40-year-old on a Tuesday.
Okay, fine. But I mean,
that's so specific.
He's a winning playoff competitor.
Who has the record? Let me ask you this to show you that it's a fake record. Who has the record for most playoff wins? Who is 5th place for most playoff wins, age 27? Exactly.
Probably Jayden Tatum, actually.
And my point is, who knows? Like, what do we? He's not even know first place. He's talking about 5th place, man.
That's fair.
Yeah, anything more on this game before we move on? I feel bad for the Magic.
Yeah, I mean, you had Peyton Pritchard out there, with his undeserving Sixth Man of the Year award, looking fine also. He played well. That's all.
All right. Listen, we can do, we have time. Let's do a quick six-man thing. I wouldn't say he wasn't deserving of six-man. I just think there needs to be a reframing of what six-man is, because he started a lot of these games. Six-man used to be like, he's our guy off the bench who comes in, right? Manu Ginobili, Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams, legendary six-man of the year winners. Back when the award meant like you were the sixth man. Pritchard is often starting for them. He's not like, because Jrue Holiday doesn't play, Derek White doesn't play, Kristaps doesn't play, Tatum doesn't play, Brown doesn't play. Almost always there was at least one of those guys weren't playing and Pritchard was starting. So yes, technically when all 5 starters were healthy, Pritchard was the sixth man. And I think he's the best player of all of the 6 men finalists, but I just think the award is dumb.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I think also there were times where they were playing with him as the 6 man, and they used them, like, for example, Tatum and Brown as decoys on games that they were playing against bad teams, and like, here, Peyton Pritchard, take another 3. Like, when you give a stacked lineup and you put him out there to kind of be the person, like the only person who's kind of coming off of, someone else's double team to kind of take open threes, especially when the whole lab can shoot threes. I just feel like it's like, if he wasn't there, to be honest with you, I don't know that we would see much of a difference. That's my only take. Like, I feel like, yeah.
I hear it. Okay, next. Cleveland beats Miami 121-112. This was actually a closer game than it looked. Miami seized momentum and appeared on the verge of possibly tying the series, and then Mitchell just took over. He scored Cleveland's 8 points, and they held on to a victory. And Mitchell said after the game, "I love the fact that the game happened like this. We had to really find a way as a group, and then we responded. I was watching Celtic City. Okay, you've seen, you know that documentary, The Bills.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Very good. So the last night, it's week to week, and last night the episode was about the 08 Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the best season. It was like, their record was like 66-16. And going into the series, Doc was asked, what are you most worried about come the playoffs? And Doc said, I'm worried that it's been too easy. This team has not faced any adversity. And I think you could say that for the Cavs this year. They haven't really faced any adversity. They went on this giant streak in the beginning of the season. And it feels like they locked the one seed in already by the All-Star break. And their second half of the season didn't really matter to them. And they get Miami in the playoffs. So I think Mitchell is trying to create some adversity. Like, Miami almost won, and then I came through. Like, you need some sort, like, in The Last Dance, they kept saying how Jordan would find these things to motivate him, Coach Malone saying at the dinner, you're nothing. Like, would Jordan really not have beaten the Jazz if Coach Malone, these players need to find some sort, you need adversity to, like, win. And I think my one worry about Cleveland is that they're missing adversity. But Boston is missing adversity too. So, and they're the two best teams. So it's more like, yeah, like it's, I don't know. What, I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here.
I think that there's a lot of people who also say, like, we're kind of waiting for that series to happen. And it's similar, like, with the playoffs when you're in the regular season. Like, it's a lot of people who are like, well, what does the regular season matter? Right? Like, it's hard to find that extra, piece to motivate yourself. What I will say that it was interesting, while watching this game, or this part of this game, I'm noticing how much motion is going on in their offense, which is, to me, a good sign. It means that they're, like, they're still paying attention to plays. They're still, like, it's in a very intelligent offense, and there's a lot, it's, like, very fast-paced. So the truth is that I really think that they could pick it up, when the time comes, when they are going to face the Celtics or something that's more challenging for them. I just, it's like a little bit of a symptom of, they haven't proven it yet. So, like, they also don't have necessarily the faith in themselves. And I think that Mitchell has been deeper in playoff runs before with the Jazz, and the team has looked really good, and then they've fallen apart. So I think that he's also more nervous of that. And that's what comes with experience, you know, like, so it'll be very, very interesting moving forward. But I think that he's right to kind of feel that way based on his past experience. But it'll be, I'm excited to see what it looks like moving forward, because this team, like, they also have hungry players in this team, like Mobley and Jared Allen. Garland, you know, kind of with his injuries, kind of back and forth. But I think that this team is, like, interested in winning. So when the time comes, it'll be fun, I think.
I'm very excited. They also hit a lot of threes. They scored 11 threes in the second quarter, which was a record. And they scored 22 threes for the game, which was the sixth most ever. Anyway, that was the NBA Daily Recap in 15 minutes or less. I want to thank you, Levy, for co-hosting and producing. And I want to thank you for listening.